Good morning. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. This is a very special and holy time of the year. Let our invocation this week be, O God who hears all birthing cries, be with me in the wilderness. Nourish me, attend me, be my companion, I pray. So let us now light the Advent candles. I light the first candle to remind us that we must prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ child. This is the candle of faith. With the eye of faith, I see God in all. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate our active faith in the power of God, the justice of God, the truth of God that is continually at work in our hearts and minds. The second candle that we light is the candle of peace. Peace is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at this candle, we celebrate the peace we find in Jesus Christ. We light the third candle to signify love. Love is like a candle shining in a dark place. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate the love we have in Christ. And we light the candle on the fourth Sunday in Advent to signify joy. Joy is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at this candle, we celebrate the joy we find in Jesus Christ. Today we light the fourth candle of Advent, the candle of joy. When the angel Gabriel told Mary that a special child would be born to her, she was filled with joy. She sang a song that began with the words, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Just as the birth of Jesus gave great joy to his mother, so his presence in the world gave joy to those who had none before. He healed them and gave them hope and peace when they believed in him. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the joy you give us. We ask that as we wait for all your promises to come true and for Christ to come again, that you would remain present with us. Help us today and every day to worship you, to hear your word, and to do your will by sharing your joy with each other. We ask it in the name of the one who was born in Bethlehem. Amen. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, "The human spirit is the lamp of the Lord, searching every inmost part." Merry Christmas. Monday is the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus the Christ. So I would like to read the story of the Christ from Scripture. In Luke 1, verses 26 to 38, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God.' Then Mary said, 'Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.' Then the angel departed from her." So Mary is approached by an angel and told that she will give birth to the Messiah. This had to be a very traumatic experience for a 14-year-old girl. So she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. It says in Luke 1, verses 39 through 45, "In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.' And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Elizabeth immediately recognizes that Mary is to give birth to the Messiah, and her child, who is John the Baptist, actually leaped in her womb. We too have the ability to see the Christ in others. The more we develop the Christ within us, the more we become sensitive to the divine aspect of other people. Mary's song of praise is in Luke 1, verses 46 through 56. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. So even before his birth, Mary was aware of all her son would become to the world. And in Luke 2, verses 1 to 7, it says, "In those days a decree went out from the emperor, Augustus, that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." And in Luke 2, verses 8 through 20, "In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, goodwill among people.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." So this is the Christmas story that we celebrate every year. We also celebrate the Christ being born within us and all people. This story is about us and the birth of our unlimited possibilities. Hold this story in your heart throughout the season and beyond, reminding yourself that you are the Christ. I found this on the web. The author is Dr. Ralph F. Wilson, and I would like to share it with you now. It's called Joseph's Letter Home. "Dear Mom, we're still in Bethlehem, Mary and I and little Jesus. There were lots of things I couldn't talk to you about last summer. You wouldn't have believed me then, but maybe I can tell you now. I hope you can understand. You know, Mom, I've always loved Mary. You and Dad used to tease me about her when she was still a girl. She and her brothers used to play on our street. Our families got together for supper, but the hardest day of my life came scarcely a year ago, when I was 20 and she only 15. You remember that day, don't you? The trouble started after we were betrothed and signed the marriage agreement at our engagement. The same spring, Mary had left abruptly to visit her old cousin Elizabeth in Judea. She was gone 3 whole months, and after she got back, the people started wondering out loud if she was pregnant. It was a cloudy the day I finally confronted her with the gossip. "Mary," I asked at last, "are you going to have a baby?" Her clear brown eyes met mine. She nodded. I didn't know what to say. "Who?" I finally stammered. "Mom, Mary and I had never acted improperly, even after we were betrothed." Mary looked down. "Joseph," she said, "there's no way I can explain. You couldn't understand. But I want you to know I've never cared for anyone but you." She got up, gently took my hands in hers, kissed each of them as if it were the last time she would ever do that again, and then turned towards home. She must have been dying inside. I know I was. The rest of the day I stumbled through my chores. It's a wonder I didn't hurt myself in the woodshop. At first I was angry and pounded out my frustrations on the doorframe I was making. My thoughts whirled so fast I could hardly keep my mind on my work. At last I decided just to end the marriage contract with a quiet divorce. I loved her too much to make a public scene. I couldn't talk to you, or anyone for that matter. I went to bed early and tried to sleep. Her words came to me over and over. "I've never cared for anyone but you. I've never cared for anyone but you." How I wished I could believe her. I don't know when I finally fell asleep, Mom. I had a dream from God. An angel of the Lord came to me. His words pulsated through my mind so intensely, I can remember them as if it were yesterday. "Joseph, son of David," he thundered, "do not fear to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." I couldn't believe my ears, Mom. This was the answer. The angel continued, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The angel gripped my shoulders with his huge hands. For a long moment, his gaze pierced deep within me. Just as he turned to go, I think I saw a smile on his shining face. I sat bolt upright in bed. No sleep after that. I tossed about for a while, going over the words in my mind. Then I got up and dressed quietly so I wouldn't wake you. I must have walked for miles beneath the moonless sky. Stars pricked the blackness like 1,000 tiny pinpoints. A warm breeze blew on my face. I sang to the Lord, Mom. Yes, me singing, if you can imagine that. I couldn't contain my joy. I told him that I would take Mary and care for her. I told him I would watch over her and the child, no matter what anyone said. I got back just as the sun kissed the hilltops. I don't know if you still recall that morning, Mom. I can see it in my mind's eye as if it were yesterday. You were feeding the chickens, surprised to see me out, remember? "Sit down," I said to you. "I've got to tell you something." I took your arm and helped you find a seat on the big rock out back. "Mom," I said, "I'm going to bring Mary home as my wife. Can you help make a place for her things?" You were silent for a long time. "You do not know what they're saying, don't you, son?" You said at last, your eyes glistening. "Yes, Mom, I know." Your voice started to rise. "If your father was still alive, he'd have some words, I tell you. Going about like that before you're married, disgracing the family and all. You and Mary ought to be ashamed of yourselves." You'd never have believed me if I'd tried to explain, so I didn't. Unless the angel had spoken to you, you'd have laughed me to scorn. "Mom, this is the right thing to do," I said. And then I started talking to you as if I were the head of the house. "When she comes, I don't want one word to her about it," I sputtered. "She's your daughter-in-law. You'll respect her. She'll need your help if she's to bear the neighbors' wagging tongues." "I'm sorry, Mom, you don't deserve that." You started to get up in a huff. "Mom," I murmured, "I need you." You took my hand and got to your feet, but the fire was gone from your eyes. "You can count on me, Joseph," you told me with a long hug, and you meant it. I never heard another word. No bride could hope for a better mother-in-law than you those next few months. Mom, after I left you, I went up the road to Mary's house and knocked. Her mother glared at me as she opened the door. Loudly, harshly, she called into the house, "It's Joseph," almost spitting out my name as she said it. My little Mary came out cringing, as if she expected me to give her the back of my hand. I suppose her eyes were red and puffy. I can just imagine what her parents had said. We walked a few steps from the house. She looked so young and afraid. "Pack your things, Mary," I told her gently. "I'm taking you home to be my wife." "Joseph," she hugged me as tight as she could. "Mom, I didn't realize she was so strong. I told her what I'd been planning. We'll go to Rabbi Ben Ezer's house this week and have him perform the ceremony." "I know it was awful sudden, Mom, but I figured the sooner we got married, the better it would be for her and me and the baby." "Mary, even if our friends don't come, at least you and I can pledge our love before God." I paused. "I think my mom will be there, and maybe your friend Rebecca would come if her dad would let her. How about your parents?" I could feel Mary's tiny frame shuddering as she sobbed quietly. "Mary," I said. I could feel myself speaking more boldly. "No matter what anyone says about you, I'm proud you're going to be my wife. I'm going to take good care of you. I promise God that." She looked up. I lowered my voice. "I had a dream last night, Mary. I saw an angel. I know." The anguish which had gripped her face vanished. She was radiant as we turned away from the house and began to walk up the hill together. Just then her mother ran out into the yard. "Wait," she called. She must have been listening from behind the door. Tears were streaming down her cheeks. "I'll get your father," she called, almost giddy with emotion. "We," she cried as she gathered up her skirts. "We," she shouted as she began to run to find her husband, "we are going to have a wedding." "That's how it was, Mom. Thanks for being there for us. I'll write again soon. Love, Joseph." I look forward to another year full of joyful surprises from Spirit. I see for each one of you prosperity in all areas of your lives. My vision for you is for many blessings. May 2024 be the year when all of your inner dreams manifest in the outer realm. God bless you, and have a merry, merry Christmas.